Welcome to Spill Radio. This program is being recorded on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. I am Tatiana Melama, hosting this program on behalf of the Morris and Helen Belkin Art Gallery at the University of British Columbia. Spill Radio is presented in collaboration with CITR 101.9 FM, with sound production and editing by Joshua Stevenson. On Friday, September 27th, over 5,000 people gathered at the University of British Columbia, and that afternoon joined protesters at Vancouver City Hall for the global climate strike. The city's main thoroughfare, the Canby Street Bridge, was completely shut down as over 10,000 protesters marched from City Hall through downtown to protest government inaction on the climate crisis. This protest was timed to coincide with the UN Climate Action Summit that was underway in New York. At the University of British Columbia, the strike was led by UBC C350, the Climate Hub, and the UBC Social Justice Center. Today's podcast will include recordings from the climate strike at UBC, beginning with a Musqueam welcome by Christy Lee Charles, a presentation by Sarah Hunt, who is an assistant professor in the Institute for Critical Indigenous Studies and the Department of Geography at UBC, and an interview with strike student organizer Michelle Marcus. We will also play music that was performed at the strike by UBC's a cappella group and the band The Bee Collective.
We are the first families who made first contact. We are the first families of this here land, sent as caretakers and instructors, some from these skies and some from these seas, some from these rocks and some from these trees. But then some of us were sent back to do the work again because this is our way. My heart is the earth and the earth is my heart. My heart is the earth and the earth is my heart. We listen to all these little birds, these crickets, these frogs, peepom, wahas, 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 the owls, tsitmuch. They tell us when it is time. Smoked salmon, candied salmon, salmon, sashimi, weavings are mathematical and scientific formulas and not just art. Yes, our weavings are mathematical and scientific formulas and not just art. Holistic health, probiotics, omega-3 superfoods, natural nutrients from these here lands. We're still living off these lands. Plant medicine, we need this plant medicine. Deer, elk, and butter clams, sturgeons, ooligans, cedar roots, our roots since time immemorial. Sent as caretakers and instructors, a creation story passed on from centuries ago, written in the land and told in the language, markers all across these sacred lands. Weavings at Safeways, totem poles at Hui Hui, hold up, that's not our way. House posts at YVR and UBC with five or more village sites that are so ancient that we can't even remember. That's how old this land is. Thanamana e Huamusquiam Shiyeth. My daughters are of Musqueam, high-born women from this land. We still live off this land. Where we stand today is the ancient village of Kalahan, our warrior village. We hear about these fierce warriors, the warrior Kayapalano who stood up and defended the land. He stopped Simon Fraser from coming down the river. And I recite this story again and again and again because these are the teachings, these are the words that our Musqueam women, our Musqueam people, indigenous people all across the land, we've been carrying for thousands and thousands of years. I'm not going to stand up on a canoe and have my weapons and be that fierce warrior, but I'll stand up here and I'll use my words as these spears, as these arrows, to go into the hearts and the minds of the people to understand that the change is now. We need to turn to our people, to our women, to stand up our knowledge, to open our hearts and our minds so we can be that change. Our indigenous people have forever been living off of this land. Yesterday when I was getting my coffee just up the road, I was speaking to someone. They're saying, oh, hey, Christy, how you doing? What's going on? I was like, oh, yeah, climate strike at UBC tomorrow. Come check it out. And the lady behind me started laughing. She goes, oh, that's too late for that. And I said, you know, it's pretty amazing how resilient this world is. And she laughed and she goes, yeah, keep being hopeful. And I just smiled to her and I said, have a good day. Because the amount of knowledge that comes from this land takes so long to understand. But we can't understand it through words. We need to connect to the land. In the morning, we face the sun and let this beautiful sunshine shine through our being to give us that good, beautiful, glowing energy to help us be strong for the day. And when we're having a hard time, we turn to the water. We turn to the mountains, the cold mountains, and we go for a fresh, clean bath first thing in the morning to get all that out of us, right? And each and every department, each and every classroom, each and every professor and student, each and every subject that we're studying here at UBC, we are so fortunate that we are the people that can make the movement. We can carry our knowledge and we can come together, right? All of these little indigenous communities, we can share our knowledge together in this home we call UBC, right? So I want to raise my hands to each and every one of you who are standing up today, standing up and bringing your energy, bringing your beautiful voice and bringing your power, because the people are the ones that can change, right? We're the ones carrying this movement. So I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for standing here, and shout out to all the mamana. Shout out to all the kids. Shout out to all the kids. Yeah, give it up for the mamana. Yeah. For coming out today. Because man, they have some amazing ideas on how we can make this world a better place, right? All right. Haitapka nasiam nasiaya. Haitapka nasiam nasiaya.
People gonna rise like the water. Gonna calm this crisis down. I hear the voice of my great-granddaughter singing climate justice now. People gonna rise like the water. Gonna calm this crisis down. I hear the voice of my great-granddaughter singing climate justice now. People gonna rise like the water. Gonna calm this crisis down. I hear the voice of my great-granddaughter singing climate justice now. People gonna rise like the water. Gonna calm this crisis down. I hear the voice of my great granddaughter singing climate justice now.
So I begin in this way to remind us that these lands beneath our feet, this air we breathe and the water that surrounds us has been sustained by and has in turn sustained the indigenous people of this coast since time immemorial. For generation after generation after generation, our ancestors have cultivated intimate knowledge of these shorelines and all of the life within it. Not only the salmon, but also the whales, the sea urchin, the cedars, the clams, the seaweed, the eagles, the eels, the seagrass, and the sea herself. Our very being as coastal people is interrelated with the being, these set of relations. So when the undersea world, when the ocean is in peril, I am in peril. Indigenous people here and around the world have been standing up and saying no to the capitalist plunder of our world since colonial conquest brought extractive and exploitive ideologies to these shores. For the past 500 years, Indigenous youth, men, women, Two-Spirit, and all our gender diverse relations have been saying no. Stop. You do not have consent to clear cut our rainforests, to put our salmon farms in our waters, to devastate our waterways for oil and gas, to build man camps in our sacred sites, to build cities like this one over our village sites. We have been saying no. I'm not just talking about Mauna Kea or Standing Rock or Unist'ot'en Camp that have made it into the news or onto social media in recent years. I'm thinking of youth like Vanessa and Lindsay Gray of Umjawanong First Nation in what's now known as Ontario, who led toxic tours through their community, which has become known as Chemical Valley, after the imposition of more than 60 oil refineries and chemical plants. Their community is facing high rates of stillbirth, miscarriage, asthma, and other health problems. Indigenous young people like these have been and are fighting not only for their futures, but their present, because environmental racism is killing us now. So it is time to start listening to Indigenous leaders, especially youth leaders in the fight for Earth justice. Climate change is not happening because of the sudden creation of new ideologies, but because of the continuation and intensification of colonial ideologies which have been ravaging our people and our lands and waters for hundreds of years. So it's inspiring to see students around the world standing up and organizing for today's climate strike. But I want to know what we plan to do tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that. My hope is that we will not just stand or talk or tweet, but act in solidarity with Indigenous people around the world whose homes are being swallowed up by rising sea levels, whose food sources are being destroyed by rising sea temperatures, whose forests are being burned down and bulldozed in the name of profit, who are facing death and illness due to the pollution of their air, water, and land, and who haven't had clean drinking water for years and years and years because of apathy of global governments and the greed of industry. The earth is not just our home or our future, but our relative. A relative that has been telling us she cannot breathe, that she is ill. And Indigenous people have been speaking up for our relative, but who has been listening? Now is the time to truly listen to Indigenous wisdom on the climate crisis, because there is No climate justice without Indigenous justice. So let's keep this in our minds and hearts, not just today, but as we wake up every morning on these beautiful, unceded Coast Salish territories. Gila Kasla.
Which side are you on now? Which side are you on?
Hey.
Which side are you on now? Which side are you on?
Storm surge and fires burn, but you don't hear their call. Cause fossil fuels keep paying you, doesn't weigh on you at all. Does it weigh on you at all? Does it weigh on you at all? Does it weigh on you at all? Does it weigh on you at all?
When the laws and gender warning came knocking at your door, you gave them $5 million.
Marcus.
Great. And what's your role with the strike today?
So I'm one of the student organizers of the strike. We've been planning this since early August. The strike is organized by a group of student, staff, and faculty that includes UBC C350, the Climate Hub, and the Social Justice Center. I've been involved in all of those groups throughout my time here. And I've been part of the coordinating team.
And why did you feel it was important to strike today?
This is such, the climate crisis is obviously such an important issue, and I've been involved in climate activism, climate justice activism for a long time. This is an incredible moment right now with millions of people striking all around the world. I have never seen anything like this. It's so powerful to have so many people of all ages, all backgrounds, all around the world striking in solidarity with each other. And a big part of this is recognizing the injustice of climate change and the fact that the global north and privileged people in the world like myself have caused this crisis, and those who are most marginalized are suffering the impacts most. So it's really about the fact that this is an emergency. It's not something that is happening way in the future. It's happening right now. It's happening here. People's lives are being affected here by wildfires, by their families back home being affected by flooding, hurricanes. We need to treat it like the crisis that it is, and we need bold, transformative action.
And why was it important for you to do this at UBC today in particular?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's so important for young people to get involved. We
so many young people care deeply and are really thinking a lot about what climate change means for their futures. And so I think there's just, it's incredible to see the energy, the number of people that have been organizing their own communities, their own departments. And so clearly there's a huge interest in this, and there's a huge demand for more action. Climate change is an issue that we need action from at all levels. So the climate strike, it's an international movement. In Canada, we are focused on the upcoming federal election. So Climate Strikes Canada is really focusing these strikes around demanding that leaders across all political parties take climate action and climate justice seriously. And we're pushing for bolder solutions and commitments. But we also need action at UBC and at the local level. This university is a public institution. It has a mission to the public good, to fostering global citizenship, and to research and education. And climate change fits so closely with that mission.
What are some of the bolder actions that you're asking UBC to take?
Yeah, so we've written an open letter calling for the university to declare a climate emergency, as many universities and governments around the world have already done. And as part of that, we want the university to reconsider divestment from fossil fuels. Divestment is something that we know the community is behind. There were student and faculty referenda in support of it, and there has been no action. And the university actually had a few weeks ago was starting to retract its stance. Basically, a lot of people in the administration had been saying they were committed to moving this forward, and then there was a draft policy put forward that basically says divestment is not an effective tactic, and the university does not want to do it. So there's a lot of work to do there, and we're calling on UBC to be bolder and listen to its community. But in addition to that, we're also asking to expand research and education on climate change to enable more students and faculty to spend time working on solutions, as well as getting UBC to expand emissions accounting and emissions reduction, because a lot of our emissions are not counted.
Okay, great. And there's a petition. Do you want to tell me a bit about the petition going around right now?
Yeah, so right now we are just getting people to pledge to make climate justice a priority in the 2019 federal election and beyond. So if folks sign that petition, we will send them updates on how they can get involved in the federal election and pushing for leaders to take stronger stances on climate change, as well as how to get involved in divestment organizing. And then there's also a spot on that form for people to sign the open letter if they haven't done that already. We've already gotten over 1,200 signatures on the open letter.
Okay, great. And if someone wants to sign that open letter, is there a website that they can visit?
Yeah. So they can just go to our UBC Climate Strike Facebook event page and it'll be right there.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I got sober like a man drowning, like a fish breathing, like Dracula sunbathing, in a place where the ground itself will stab you, the land itself will cut you, it will kill you if it's able.
I arrived so certain I was ready,
but nowadays I think there is no hurry to return to the anarchism of the words with no god or master there, 6 feet underneath the earth.
The anarchy of dirt.
Like a locked shut.
No
one's like us. We see each other like a brick blind's bus. A
like a fascist meets a grave. Find sharks of blood,
gather
what we can of shattered selves and face each other. I'll let the darkness speak for me when my bones won't listen, till we return to the communism of the words. Without God or master there, 6 feet underneath the earth, anarchy of dirt.
Justice!
Climate!
Justice!
Justice!
People!
Power!
People!
Power!